Gotta run now. Hence Riley, gotta climb now. Way up highly. Gotta get you, Dr. Wily. I am Mega Man, here's my mega plan. You die! Gotta run now. So fast paced, gotta climb now. It's a rat race. Gotta get that balding ass face. I am Mega Man, I eat Mega Plan. But why? Cause Dr. Wily is an old nasty son of a tape. He can't escape so slyly, but not this time. He thinks he's leaving, but he ain't! Gotta run now. Kill Flash Man, gotta run now. Also Crash Man, but I'm not gonna play the one with Slash Man. MM2 was tight, MM7 shite for real. C3 was good, and 4 was pretty good. 5 and 6 were okay, but 7 sucked big dinosaur balls. Pow, pow!
Gotta run now.
Guy Smiley, gotta climb now. Bill O'Reilly, gotta get you. Dr. Wily, I am Mega Man. Here's my mega plan.
Hello, everyone. Well, ZXSpec Star here. And just before we start the show, I just want to give you some info about the tune that just played. If you want to check out a little bit more, because the guy's done a few more tracks with lyrics, as this one is titled Mega Man 2 with lyrics. He does little comedy sort of songs amongst some stuff. So if you want to check it out, go to www.youtube.com/users/brentalfloss. I'll put a link in the bottom there. And now everybody, please sit back and enjoy the show. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Retro Resistance Podcast, broadcasting live from the Retro Asylum basement. This is me, ZXSpec Star, and joining me for a topic of debate this fortnight is...
Asperger's Gamer 64.
Yay! Give yourself a pat on the back, mate.
Just did.
Excellent stuff. And I think we even heard that on there. So there you go, people. You can't complain. We don't give you a different source of entertainment here.
Yep.
Well, we're just here to entertain.
Always here to detain.
Detain?
Not detain. No, that did never come out.
Yeah, we're here to detain you. You will listen to our podcast.
Podcast now.
Yeah, until your ears bleed. No, but I don't think we're that bad, are we?
We're not like those guys from Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, oh dearie me, no, walking down the wrong path. Moving along. So Will, what are we here to talk about this week?
We're going to talk about the probably the most underrated, unappreciated video game character of all time, Mega Man.
I do agree with you there, mate. He is, especially in this country, he's really underappreciated. Mm-hmm. But before we go on to our main topic of conversation with that one, what have you been up to, mate?
Well, I've been playing on my PS3 lately, playing on Dark Souls. But fortunately, yesterday afternoon, my PS3 won't scan the games anymore, so I'll have to get a laser disc replaced on that now.
Oh, no, you was actually quite grumpy about that last night, wasn't you?
Yeah, you get halfway through the game, turns around and says, nope, can't let you do it anymore. Scumbag PlayStation 3, halfway through Dark Souls, the laser disc breaks down.
It's just annoying when things like that happen.
But it's one of those things that happen. Nothing I can do. It's just I have to bring it, take it for repairs, and that'll be it. So it's just can't help it.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it's not much to get them repaired anyway. If not, you could probably get another PS3 cheap anyway. Have you been playing anything? You've still been playing the old school Spectrum as well,
haven't
you?
Yes, I have been playing the old school Spectrum. I have been playing Through the Trapdoor, Jack and the Nipper, TMNT, never play that again. And Adam's Family, Dizzy, the fourth one, the Prince of the York Folk, and what's up? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much about it, really.
Yep, I gave you a long list of games to play as well, didn't I? Because me and you, we're going to have a little conversation in one of our podcasts talking about your experiences with the Spectrum, because it was your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm doing for emulation. I don't own the actual console.
I know, but trying to get hold of a full working Spectrum nowadays is a pain in the ass.
Yes.
But, it's all good. I've actually not been doing much, so I haven't really got nothing to report back upon. But one thing I will give something back on, it's still to do with Spectrum, a bit of news which Andy pointed out from the Retro Asylum. Snow Brothers has made its way onto the Spectrum, in particularly the 48K style machine.
Oh.
Yes, a generous dose of platforming goodness. Well, no, far too well, Malk doesn't like it, so... And, it's a bubble
be a bubble ripoff with some different aspects, but hey, it's still a game. It was playable. I could give it that.
I haven't played it yet.
It's on World of Spectrum, yeah, so you can. And I'll provide a link onto the site so you can actually get hold of it and speak to people who kind of enjoy this sort of game, because there's lots of people in the Retro Asylum who do. Right, yeah, so it's pretty short and pretty light on what we've been up to this week, haven't we? Mm. There was something else we found, but it coincides with what we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that later.
A bit later.
Yeah. Dun dun dun. We'll keep the people in suspense. Mm. You can see them hang on the walls. What is it? What have they found?
Well, you're very surprised.
I know. Well, I imagine quite a few people already know about it, but we're not going to. We still won't say. Right. So we're here to talk about Mega Man today. Just the very first generation of Mega Man's. Yeah. Not X, not Legends, not ZX or Zero or anything else like that. We're just here to talk about the original Blue Bomber, because to give you personally, I think there's quite a lot to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, there is. Like I say, it's unappreciated.
What was your first experience of the Mega Man games?
I didn't really own it legit on, well, didn't own it on the NES, but I've got it through. I played it for emulation.
What was your main impressions of the game?
It is like a solid platformer. It was a bit hard when I first played it, but I used the Game Genie to get through it. So, but after I played the first one, I really enjoyed it. Just, it was a pretty awesome game.
It was. It seemed to have got the blend between platforming and shooting, yeah, done so well.
Yeah.
And there was the clear, good old-fashioned sort of spikes to dodge while you're, yes, bouncing around the sceneries. And also, I reckon it was the one that introduced the sort of boss system that allowed you to take their weapons and then use, yeah, them against other bosses as a weakness. So, yeah, it was the first to put a bit of thought to your head. Mm. It was definitely good. And I was surprised because I only heard of Mega Man 1 and 2. And I remember seeing Mega Man 3 in a magazine. This was back in the time. I think you might be a bit too young at that point.
Yeah, pretty young.
Then afterwards, I sat there thinking, it's like, wow. And then when I started emulation myself, I was like, wow, there's 4, 5, 6, 7. And then I saw 8 on the PlayStation, and I'm like, well, was there really that many? And then there was a resurrection on the later systems of 9 and 10, of which 9 was just...
Hard as hell.
It really, really was.
So that was hard as hell.
Yeah. But it was just an amazing... And like I say, it just seems that he just doesn't get talked about too much, does he?
No, he doesn't. I think Capcom doesn't really give a flying effing about him anymore.
I know. You can't swear, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To me, I think Capcom are trying to basically drown him in his own vomit.
Yeah, I think they're just taking a shit on him.
A very big one at that. Mm. And it's sad. And the Resistance says, no, we should go and block Capcom's headquarters, or at least a department.
And rescue Mega Man.
Yay. We will create our own set of Mega Man games, and they will not have robot masters that suck.
Yep.
Yeah. I know, we'll have Spiked Wallman.
Yeah. Vibrator Man.
Oh no. Yeah, Splash Woman's favourite friend.
Yep.
And you think about it, over all these years, only one female robot master.
One female, and that was only Mega Man 9, Splash Woman, the only female out of the entire series. All of them have been male, but she's the only female.
Yeah, and it does come to the point, you think of the world of what Mega Man is. Mm. And you would have thought there would be female robots.
Well, after I played all the first 6, and there was no females until Mega Man 9. Yeah. That was pretty cool. A female one, that's nice.
You've got to remember, this was created by the Japanese. The female ones were probably all busy in the brothels. They were the sex robots, yeah, and things like that. Because apparently that's what the Japanese said.
There was another female robot, Roll. She was a female robot, but she was like a housekeeper robot.
Yeah, she was always the one that's sitting there helping out Mega Man. Oh, I love you. Yeah, shut up. You know you want some off him. You want to see what his Blue Bomber's all about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just wrong. Oh, no, but the Mega Man game started through and with the first game. Now, you tell me, mate, what do you tell us about the first game?
Well, the first game was released in over here in December 30th, 1989, but in Japan, he's known as Rockman.
Yeah, I honestly do not know why they changed his name.
No.
I think Mega probably had a bit more of a better ring to it, yeah, didn't it? Yes, but
of you American fans might remember Mega Man having that infamous bad box art. Oh, dear.
The first box art on there was horrendous,
yes,
wasn't it?
But actually, surprisingly, the European version is far better.
Mm. The funniest thing is, I think they actually celebrated how bad that box art is when they released Street Fighter Cross Tekken,
yeah,
didn't they?
You could play as him.
Yeah, in his American context. He's like big, fat, and overweight.
Yeah. And also, the Mega Man Universe game, you were going to play as him as well, but that game got cancelled.
Yeah, yet again, sitting there going, hello, we're here to take another dump on you. And you're like, don't make us hate you even more than what
don't
what
make
we
us hate us anymore, Capcom. I'm already on edge with you with that bloody Resident Evil thing.
Oh, which one was that?
Resident Evil 6 costs, the new Platinum Resident Evil 6 edition costs is like $13,000. But guess what you get with it? What? Leon's current jacket and two iPad covers, and that's about it. And plus the game.
For how much?
For $13,000.
You know what, Capcom can just go shove that up their ass.
Capcom, only the iPad exists. The Android doesn't exist to them.
Oh, I think there is a few of their games on there. I'll have to have a mooch later.
Anyway, we're going off topic here.
Yeah, off topic.
Back to Mega Man.
Back to Mega Man, yeah. So the first game came out, and I remember when... I first clicked it on this. It's like, oh wow, look, all these different people here. And I didn't realise at first that these are the guys you actually had to beat up. So
it's like a stage selection. But the problem is you can go in any order you want. That was quite unique.
It was. But it wasn't until later on after you played it and then you suddenly realise, there is a purpose to this because of
each robot masters have their own weakness to the other robot masters' weapons. Yeah. Make it easy to beat them.
Yep. And then when you worked it out, which ones do which, then you made the game a whole lot easier.
Oh, it did. But you can go on like Game Winners now, and you can just like type it in Game Winners and show what Robot Masters are weakness anyway. So
yeah, that is true. I can't exactly say that the weaknesses are obvious, which is something they never did. They never made them very obvious what to do. They could have sat there looking at the points and goes, "Oh look, what would Cutman be weakness to?" You wouldn't think of it.
No.
But then his one is actually the Guts Arm, which is rock.
Yeah.
And would you truth that? I can actually see a point to that one because it's like, think of the old game, rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, because rock, blunt, scissors.
Rock, blunt, scissors. Then you also have a look at the other part of it as well, and then the Cut Man affects electric, and then that part doesn't make sense.
No. Actually, so... it does, yeah. Then the lightning attack affects Iceman as well, so that really doesn't really.
Oh yeah, that doesn't do him. No, that doesn't do him any favours whatsoever. And they also used first game also used a special bit where you needed the electro bridge as well.
Yeah, because of blah, 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 blah. That pretty much is the first hidden weapon in the Mega Man.
Yeah,
because you find that in the Electro Man station. We have the Guts Man ability. You pick up these blocks and you pick it up, and it has this like electric barrier you can manually jump on. I usually use it when the visible blocks because I hate them.
Oh yeah, I'm okay with them. I don't find
much. You can't be a Mega Man game without them.
Oh, definitely. And also, the first game also introduced the character. It's basically only the three initial characters. Yeah. Who would become part of the series, which was Mega Man himself, his creator, Dr. Light.
Also known as Dr. Wright in America, in Japan. His full name is Dr. Thomas Wright.
I think that comes down to the point that there is no L in the Japanese alphabet.
No.
So that's why they turn around to Dr. Wright. Yeah. Because if you actually have a look at the Japanese version of Street Fighter, Blanka is actually put on there as Brunka.
Is he?
Yeah, look on the Mega Drive version. It's actually on there for the Japanese.
Oh.
So they probably did the same sort of thing there. That would probably be where the confusion came from. Mm. And then also his mortal nemesis, Dr. Wily.
Full name, Dr. Albert W. Wily.
Come on. You look at Dr. Wily, you're thinking, did you get any inspiration off Einstein by chance?
Probably they might have done.
Yeah, so you can blatantly see.
Yeah, he's definitely the evil version of Albert Einstein.
But the game itself was just great. It was platforming fun.
Yeah.
For the time, really good graphics, pleasant music to listen to. The music was really, really good.
Yeah.
And also some superb after you've done the normal Robot Masters.
You go straight to Dr. Wily's Robot Factory, which you will probably meet the Yellow Devil.
The Yellow Devil, which for the time... We'll give it was a very impressive boss character.
Because when he appears, you have to like watch his patterns because he'll fire those clay things backwards and forwards. You have to watch the patterns.
And also in that game as well, you only had one energy bar. So you really, really had to be on the ball that one. But for anybody who was on there was the little bug you could take a benefit of.
The Electro Man Gleech. Fire the Electro weapon, keep pressing the select button over and over again, but every time you select it and one of the bits over the eye, it'll hit him slowly down and prevent him from moving.
And then the electro wave also slows down as well. It was the only game where you actually had start button, which brought up the menu.
Yeah.
And pause the game, but then you had the select, which just paused the game. It makes me wonder, do you reckon he put that in there intentionally?
I don't know, really, but they got rid of it in the re-release version, didn't they? That was a bit of a shame.
Oh, yeah, it was, because that moved on after Wily was defeated, and that moved into Mega Man 2. Mega Man 2 comes along, and it's your typical story of revenge, isn't it? Why he's got out again, and then
he's created more robot masters.
But the storyline to this one is not too much alongside. It's mainly just a soul vengeance style plot line to the whole entire thing. Yeah. And it worked well, because the original Mega Man didn't actually sell too well.
No.
Despite the main game being quite good, it didn't sell too well. But Mega Man 2 was
pretty
actually
much,
recorded.
Pretty much everybody pretty much likes Mega Man 2 more than one.
Yeah, I really don't know anybody who doesn't like Mega Man 2.
No, not most people. When you look at like top lists of NES games, you mostly see Mega Man 2 in it.
Of course, because the gameplay was perfect. They had two difficulty levels. The game could be done
passport system this time around.
Yep, so you could actually record on there. And they also expended your armory to a various assortment of platforms, and you was able to carry energy tanks as well.
They're scattered around the level.
Yep, so you was able to find them along the way through. Then it would help make those encounters that were a little bit tricky a little bit more tolerable. Plus, there was also the few Robot Master stages. We had the instant death syndrome. Flashman was one of the perfect examples. No, not Flashman, Quickman.
Yeah.
He was one of the perfect examples of that one. What was your personal opinions on Mega Man 2? Because I think it's just a great, great game.
Because one thing I liked about it, they got rid of like the high scoreboard, which they did in the previous one. I think no one really could crap about that.
Yeah, no one really gave it to that. You will earn this many points. I don't care. I just want to kill him.
Yeah. And also, it was good to add some energy tanks into the game as well, because then in some parts might get a bit hard and you're pretty low on health and you really need some health. So the energy tanks there are really useful. The password system is just brilliant, because in this case you don't have to restart. Like in Mega Man 1, you have to like restart it from the beginning. But with this system now, you can just start up wherever you want. So that's pretty plus. And also you get like little like precursors to rush, like the platforms and the jet thing as well, can really help you some parts of the game. You can't get to a certain area, you just use them to get you there.
Yeah, exactly. The best example is on Heatman stage, where you had that massive, your personal favourites, those disappearing platforms.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got the little rocket platform, you stand right on the edge there, it will just take you straight across, you just skip that whole section out.
Yeah.
So there was on there. It also had one of the best bosses, is the room with those launch cannons in it, that which you need to use the crash bombs for. Made you have to think about that. And it also introduced the thing for the final stage battle. We had to fight all 8 Robot Masters, but put them in the single room with teleports
each time. They did that from Mega Man 2 to probably up to Mega Man 10.
Because the first one, they actually had them separate, so you couldn't choose.
You had like the first two, then you had a copy robot, and then you had the rest of them.
So you didn't get that option, and you usually found yourself running out of health and you going a while, you all battered up, and that's what kind of increased the difficulty a little bit too unfairly. But when they introduced the next one with Mega Man 2 and they had them all in the one room, then that was a lot better.
Because when you defeat them, you get some energy from them anyway, so that's a plus.
Yeah, that was not given on the original one either. You had to go through it on all one bar.
Yeah.
So Capcom weighed out and balanced the difficulty on that one, so it was done just right. It's done very nicely on easy mode. It's done very fairly on normal mode, on hard mode as well. You're not going to complain that one.
No.
And also, if you play it on easy mode, oh, look, we've got refight Metal Man. What do we use? You get his Metal Blade, you chuck one at him and he's gone.
Oh, the Metal Blade thing is awesome, because it doesn't take too much energy down. You can just pretty much spam that as much as you want.
Yeah, there's certain areas where you can walk through. You can just, especially those drill areas, they keep popping through the floor. You just wait down, you just refill all your weapons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely take a benefit and also rack up a whole load of lives while you're at it. Mm. Because that was the good thing. Lives weren't tight. I remember there's been certain stages, especially I've got a Bubble Man stage where you had those underground fish and you can sit there, chuck like one metal blade, and if you kill like two of the shrimps, they could both end up dropping a life.
Yeah.
Also, when you look at the underwater stage, when you hold down the jump button, you just jump higher.
Yeah, well then, it's not a very good idea when you've got spikes above you.
Oh, yeah. How many times did you spike yourself by accident?
Tons.
Tons. But like I say, the second game carried it on. If you sit down and play it, you'll see exactly why it's one of the best.
Pretty much a fan favorite.
And of course, Capcom decided to say, hey, we're on a roll here, and then we'll come along then, mate.
Mega Man 3.
Well, can you remember the storyline for that one?
Oh, let's see now. What's the storyline for Mega Man 3?
And also, when it comes to the point, Mega Man 3 also probably introduced one of the most useless robot masters at all.
Top Man.
So, Top Man. Oh. You have a look at the robot masters, and you can see what inspired them, and you can see it's like, oh, I can see why his power's like that. That's actually pretty funky. And then you sit there, you look at Top Man, and you're like thinking, wow, how unimaginative can you get on that one? I think they ran out of ideas for that one between him and Hard Man.
Well, bloody Top Man's ability is just crap.
Yeah, I know. And the fact you actually have to use that against one the other. Yeah. Ugh,
so basically, Mega Man 3 was released in 1992 in Europe. Pretty late. That was pretty late, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's one thing I hate about it. Well, that's the only reason why they came out late is because Nintendo had this limited policy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the story is that Mega Man, come in please. Mega Man, we need you. We've down to the wire of our peacekeeping project. We've got those last energy crystals. We can't finish it. Dr. Wily is here now. Finally found the sanity. He knows where the crystals are. The mining worlds do not go, can't get them. Those robots are running amok. They destroy everything. You got there, Mega Man. And those crystals will have to face some pretty mean metal. Exactly the words. Rush is there with you. Get him to bolt and chew and tell him to tell it from us. What's that? Yeah. Must be getting statistic sound. It sounds like a wolf. Mega Man, get those mining worlds pronto. Grab the crystals and stop whoever's changing it. Here's one lunatic guy. This is Dr. Light, over and out. Now, when I said about Ruff and Rush, this was the first ever appearance of Rush, Mega Man's trusty dog companion.
Yep, that would basically become the systematic item of basically Mega Man's abuse, wouldn't it? Because I sit there, they've equipped him with a spring back, which, you think about this, even though you're a robot dog, you're actually going to sit there and practically enjoy having somebody like Mega Man jumping on your back just so you can get to a platform. You wait for him to say, Rush, I will use you to jump over this pit. And then, of course, as he's about to jump on you, you see Rush sidestep, watch you go flying over into the spikes. you can see Rush sitting there laughing like Muttley. Can't you?
Basically, when you first start the game, you get the Rush coil right away, don't you?
Yeah, so you've got yourself, and there was the Rush Jet and the Rush Aqua.
Yeah.
And he did add enough aspect to the game to warrant it as well. And also, Mega Man was also given the slide ability as well.
Yeah, he was. This is the first time you were given the slide ability, which kind of makes it easier for some parts of the game. You have to slide under to get to. And this was the first appearance of Proto Man. Now, when you first saw him, you heard this whistle. You're probably thinking, okay, who's this? And you saw this guy with looks like Mega Man, but with red, half his same, with a shield. When you first saw him, it was red with a shield and a blaster. And you think, like, who's this guy? And then as soon as you beat him, he disappears. But he reappears about three times within the game. Well, first you appear to know him as Breakman. You do fight him, and then you realise, who is this Breakman guy?
Yeah, and then it turns out, you find out, he's like, oh, by the way, hey, Mega Man, this is your brother, and you've been kicking the shit out of him.
You see him going for this thing, and he shows him at the end, knowing his real name.
Yep, but the long run of it is, Wily's back again.
Yeah.
And he's got himself eight
robot masters.
Apart from the long description in the... they kind of really didn't explain the storyline too well on this one. So I think that was a point of putting a cash in. Now, some people really thought 3 was better than 2. The only one upside I did like about 3 was that I think they were the Dark Mans, where you actually had to fight the original bosses.
Yeah, when you needed to go through the stages again. That was pretty good, but I did also like the Proto Man storyline as well, because he just had more to the story, didn't it? About who's this guy.
And it was good, because they very slowly expanded the storyline, and Proto Man was a very welcome addition by the end, and it was a very nice part of the story. But he mixed into the whole entire franchise quite well. They were expanded upon, they were explained, Rush was a sensible suggestion. It was done really, really well. So it goes to the point that, Sega, look at your bunch of retards in the Sonic the Hedgehog Kingdom, they were doing a better job than this back 10 years beforehand.
Yeah, they were, definitely.
But you come to love, the reason why you like Rush is because obviously he's your consort, he's your help.
Yeah.
And you need him to get some of the good stuff. But it expanded the gameplay nicely, and it was just done really, really well. Yeah, it was a very, very
free edition. It was good. It's not a bad one. It's a really good one. You should check out.
It's definitely. People, I do agree with this one. You beat the 8 robot masters, and then, of course, you then got to refight the 8 from Mega Man 2 again, and then you go on to Wily's Fortune. So they expanded sufficient gameplay to really keep you going. And also, because you're revisiting old stages, they do change the layout slightly as well.
Yep.
Whereas one thing will be somewhere, and then you'll end up going different way, or things will be missing. So you're not playing the whole stage again. There is something different about it. Makes it that little bit more harder, which is good. And again, the overall design of the Robot Masters, I did like the ones from Free, with the exception of Top Man.
Yeah.
Well, is it? Do you think the ones from Free were pretty good?
Yeah, except for Top Man, all of them are really good.
And I could imagine they could have thought of something a bit more inspirational than Hard Man.
Mm.
You expect this Robot Master to sit there coming in and go, as I was like, oh, hello, you sound retarded. You shouldn't be too much of a problem to beat. And he wasn't, actually. So, oh, well, Capcom saw they were still on the roll then. And then they started thinking, I know, let's play with a bit of stereotyping. And that's where Mega Man 4 came about. Storyline is, of course, 8 new Robot Masters have appeared. Of course, everyone sits and goes, it's Wily! No, it's not.
It's Dr. Cossack.
Dr. Cossack, the Russian... Could they think of any more of a stereotypical Russian name than Cossack? And like, why don't they just call him Conscripts or Vladivar? why don't you just call him Professor Vodka? something like that. It's just completely unoriginal.
Cossack head does look like a Russian hat.
it does. It was, but I don't think they were being too harshly on it. It was just a little stereotypical, not as bad as what some other games be. And then, of course, with the new 8 Robot Masters, and then you do find out, yes, Dr. Wily is behind it.
He's always behind everything, isn't he?
He's always behind it. And then you find out he's kidnapped Cossack's daughter and forced him to basically attack Mega Man. Or he'll be like, you attack that little blue boy or I'm going to kill your daughter. Well, we'll do
so. And also, it was the first introduction to the new Mega Buster. You can charge up and fire.
Oh, yes. That was always a good thing. And as I say, if you didn't want to sit there pelting them with little pellets from the gun, then you can sit there and charge them up into a big shot.
Yep.
And apart from the odd monster that still sat there, took the big shot and going, ha, 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 I'm still standing up. But it still followed the same routine. Four also brought on 2 hidden items as well. One of them was a change and one of them was balloon-type platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can use.
And the balloon ability, the hidden throughout the Mega Man two of the Mega Man stages.
Yep. The balloons, I believe, were on Dive Man stage.
Yep.
No, they were on the Pharaoh Man stage, and the...
The blue one was on Dive's... No, I think the blue one was on Pharaoh Man stage.
And the chain was on Dive Man stage. Yep, so top tip, people.
So look out for... Or you can just look up on YouTube and you can find videos.
But they're actually pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
They're not exactly difficult to find, them ones are. So they didn't intentionally hide them. If you just use a bit of common sense, the Pharaoh one can be discovered quite by accident. You don't need to worry yourself too much about it. And it also introduced some more sort of stage out effects. If you look at Toad Man stage, you now had Wind Effector taking in its toll. And these stage layouts were getting better. And also... introduced 2 fortress stages. Of course, you had Dr. Cossack's fortress, and then again Wily's been naughty, so then you have to go spank him.
So basically it's like 4 separate levels.
Yes, exactly. So
Castle and Wily's castle.
Expanded the gameplay nicely, and once again it kept the nice tradition of really big, nice bosses. I always did like the bosses, especially on the NES versions. They were nice, big,
anime style.
Yeah, and you just didn't see it very often.
No, you didn't, because they were well done, and that's what I liked about it, because they were so well done.
You just enjoyed them. And Wily is always a challenge, but the challenge is always pretty good, because there is always an easy way around it. The best example for Wily on Mega Man 4 is the use of the Pharaoh Cannon.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is just charge it above your head, then just before it, when you flash it, you see him appear, he'll just bump straight into it, and you don't even need to throw it at him.
You need to use that Pharaoh weapon to defeat Wily, so don't use it as much.
Make sure that's one of the weapons you have a nice full storage of. I think they also... Was that the first one they introduced the W Cannon, so you could recharge it with?
No, I think that was Mega Man 5.
Aha, so moving on to 5.
So this pretty much game into the late of the NES cycle over here in Europe. Yep. Basically, the plot is that Proto Man has gone insane. Dr. Korsak told Mega Man that he's gone insane, so basically he's gone wild. It's pretty much started a revolution. He's got more Mega, more of the Rollmasters to help him. And this also was introduced, still had the Mega Buster and the slide ability. And this was also the first introduce of Beat, Mega Man's trusted bird robot. You have to find the Mega Man 5 letters throughout the stage, throughout each stage. Find him, Beat is your companion. He is very useful against the last boss.
Very, very, very useful. In fact, if you manage to get him, he makes the last boss so easy.
He fucking does.
But like I say, Mega Man 5 was, it was a really, really nice touch to the whole. The robot masters were good. They weren't exceedingly hard. They were a good challenge. If you did them in the correct order, they were nice to work through. I did find the Mega Man 4's ones a little tedious to get through if you didn't know the order. But with 5, it was very, very nice. Also gave you the crash kick...
Charge kick. Which I actually
charge
used
kick.
Him on that 8-bit Mega Man deathmatch.
We're not supposed to mention that one yet. Yeah, the charge kick was the first time where you physically...
You could use your slide ability. I thought it was the only power you can use your slide ability to get. Right.
Yeah, but you had to be very, very careful with the way you did it.
Quick.
Yeah, and also you had to basically, if you got good at it, you could strike. Waveman was the one that was responsible for the base. Where you can actually, if you're very, very quick, you can actually slide him. So you hit him and then back off quickly. But he also had a bit of a counteract to it because he was able to produce geysers out of the ground. You had to use a bit of timing on it as well. So to make sure that when you were sliding into him, he didn't hit you with a geyser shot. Even though he'd done it, it was still a good challenge. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, Charge Man was actually a train.
that was just a peculiar one.
Weird about Charge Man.
I found it was quite good. And to actually have a different style shape.
Yeah.
Then they also had Stone Man, which he was actually supposed to be called Rock Man on the American version. Yeah. But then they thought, it's like, this is going to get confusing if it stayed in the Japanese version.
Yeah, so they just stuck with Stone Man.
stuck with Stone Man on that one. And also, the very strange thing as well, his weapon ability was actually called Power Stone.
Yeah.
And look what happened in around 2000. Hey, look, they've released a game called Power Stone.
I've never played that game. Never.
I'll tell you, if you get hold of a copy, play it. We'll talk about that another time. Very good little fighting game. Mm. But I think that's where they basically got the idea of it from. The Power Stone was also another very strange weapon because you fired it and it started off close and then circled outwards.
Yeah, you have to get really precise with it sometimes.
They were experimenting a little with some different weapons. In all the games, they all had a kind of a different weapon that was just different to the others. If you do look back at Mega Man 3, you look at the top spin.
We're talking about this mission. It's useless.
Yeah, I know. Let's put this through now. Useless weapon number one. Right, yeah. So they always tried to be a little bit different. So you had your straight shooting weapons, you had your high explosive weapons, and that one. But the main storyline of the Mega Man 5 evolved. And what happened, as you found out towards the end, with this Proto Man?
Apparently he wasn't the real Proto Man. Apparently Dr. Wily framed Proto Man so then he can, you know. But it was a fake one and Dr. Wily framed him so he can be like, I don't know.
Yep, so a fake Proto Man.
But the real Proto Man appeared and gave something to Mega Man, and he fought the fake one.
Yep, because when you come up to the last point, I think, in the fake Proto Man's fortress, when you hear him appear, the whistle sounds all out of tune, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then you actually see the real Proto Man comes in, gives him a kick in, and then gives Mega Man his energy back. Mm. But I actually found his fortress was, because you just fight the Dark Man all the time.
Yeah.
And I found that was a bit cheap. I think that's possibly about the only low point to that section.
When I first looked at the Dark Man robot, I thought, oh, this guy's going to be easy.
Yeah, he is surprisingly hard.
Yeah.
Which was a strange thing. So
as soon as his energy starts getting lower, he goes a bit faster.
Yeah, he got faster and faster and faster each time. So you had to keep yourself on the feet, and you probably need, at least for the last one that you fought against him, you at least need an energy can on standby so you can keep yourself topped up.
Don't waste the W's.
Yeah, never waste the W's. Guaranteed you're going to need those ones. So after now 5 kick-ins from Mega Man, you would have thought that Wily would have given up, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, he didn't.
No, so what was his next master plan in Mega Man 6?
Well, apparently, this is basically the one you have to make around 5. a mysterious man called Mr. X mysteriously appears and actually hosts the first annual robot tournament. So Mega Man decided to enter this tournament to find out the tournament's secret.
Yeah, so you have a look at Mr. X. the disguise weren't much, was it? No.
Mega Man had a plan.
He had the plan.
This was not released in Europe. It was only released in Japan and America. But unfortunately, the game came out pretty much in 1994 in America, so it pretty much came out late. By that time, Mega Man X was already out on the Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo had really rooted itself in. But surprisingly, it still sold for Capcom, which was a good thing. Mm. Now, again, Mega Man 6 kept the basics, but then also changed Rush's usage on this into basically his kind of super armor system, didn't it? So Rush was able to transform into either a jetpack or something. Yeah, so that could power him up.
Yeah. That's so, the one thing I do like about Mega Man 6 is that they gave Rush a massive upgrade.
Yeah, so he wasn't just the broken trampoline.
No, he was basically now they gave him like an add-on for Mega Man, like a red, maybe like a punch and you can jet. But also the good thing about it is when it doesn't run out, it recharges itself up with the jet one, so it means you don't have to worry about collecting the red capsules again.
Yeah, so that was a nice balance there. I think 6 also brought Beat back again for some.
You have to find him again. Well, this time you have to find the words Beat hidden in some of the stages.
Yep, and they were hidden behind blocks, and so you really had to. And it also was introduced like multiple layouts to the stages as well. That was it. Each of the robot. No, it wasn't the letters. The robots have some of the robots had two exits.
Oh yeah.
And if you find the secret exit and defeat, it will give you one of the letters.
We'll give you the Beat.
Yeah, so it gave you a little bit more to work for. So when you suddenly realise that, oh, well, there's two exits, and then you've sit there looking around each stage now, which one of these actually do have two exits?
So you just choose. But you luckily can just go back and do it again, can't you? So that's one unique thing.
Yeah, it is. It was good. It helped you use that, and it changed the gameplay again, which was to me was good because they changed the aspect. And made it replayable because if you wanted to find everything in there, if you wanted to use Beat to help make your life that little bit easier, then you was able to go back and then go find him again.
Yeah.
I think moving on, it basically ran. That was also the one which Nintendo Power ran a competition, didn't they?
Yeah, and the ones that actually got two from America actually got winners. They were Nightman and Windman. There were two that won the competition,
and there was a whole massive competition where people sent them all in. If you want a good example, the Angry Video Game Nerds video looking over Nintendo Power actually has a smaller
like Magic Man, Sun Man.
It's funny you should mention Magic Man because he actually turns up later.
Oh, does he?
But I'll get to that in a moment. So, of course, the Nintendo was rapidly dropping out, wasn't it?
Yeah, the original NES was just... And it was coming out of its lifespan now into retirement.
And so then Mega Man made his 16-bit transition. Out popped Mega Man 7, didn't it, mate?
Yes, it did.
And tell us about 7.
Well, 7 was the first 16-bit original Mega Man. It was quite pretty, but the funny thing is, this one did come out in Europe, but they still called it 7.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I couldn't really understand. It's just, we didn't have number 6, but it did show a bit of the closing 6 in the game at the beginning. So, it kind of bit...
I just didn't think they didn't want to mess with the continuity.
No, like Final Fantasy did.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows when you mess with continuity, then bleh.
Well, it came out in 1995, so it pretty much came out pretty much late into its Super Nintendo.
So, of course, Mega Man was given some nice shiny new graphics.
Yep.
And possibly the most pathetic sounding blaster gun. It just didn't have the crunch which the original ones on the NES did, didn't it? It just sounded pants.
Well, this was also the first Mega Man game. You can actually find a Proto Man who'll give you his shield.
Mm-hmm. And it also introduced Otto, his mate Otto, which had a shop as well, which you could spend bolts on.
Yep. And also the first appearance of Bass.
Bass, who would after 6 games going through, Bass would become Mega Man's nemesis.
Yep.
On that one. But the best thing I like about Bass was he wasn't sitting there saying, I am Bass, I work on the side of evil. And yet, as time goes by and you look at something else, he's constantly giving Wily the finger as well, isn't he? as his eyes are there. Will you do this for me, Bass? Is it going to benefit me? No. Fuck off. Basically, Bass was a pretty good character, and he seeked to be to defeat Mega Man, but he, as per usual with the usual rivalries, he never could.
No. Even with that one, he couldn't.
Yeah, so he was given his own dog, Treble.
Yep.
So the design works for Bass were pretty good. And there was also a strange kind of hidden one-on-one game with Bass on the Mega Man 7 game as well, wasn't
there? Yeah, it was a versus mode.
A versus mode, which was a bit naff, really, weren't it? I can't say it was all that much fun. But there was the hidden Ghouls and Ghosts music, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, there was. If you highlight... what was his name again?
Shade Man.
If you highlight Shade Man and press the Y button, wasn't it? And his music will change to Ghouls and Goblins theme. Another Capcom series.
Yep. Well, one of us will have to look into that at a later point there. And then, also it was had certain odds and ends. I do believe that it was also a certain feature where if you did certain things in one stage, it would then affect them in another. Also, there's other certain things you can do. Like if you look on Cloud Man's stage, if you actually hit the generators and freeze them, it changes the weather inside the stage. So on the part where you can't see the platforms, if you hit it and freeze the air, when you go into that section, you can now see the platforms.
Cool.
They started toying with the idea of changeable stuff, which I think is a little something they borrowed off Mega Man X. Mm.
Because X was, because X was already out at the time anyway.
Yeah, so they borrowed a few ideas from that one. And also, it was the first to change the boss layout as well, wasn't it? So, yeah, because remember, you only started off with four, and then the next four appeared after the first four.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So, but again, the storyline wasn't... Again, they kind of didn't work too hard on the storyline with that one.
But some clever people actually did a Famicom version of Mega Man 7 called Rockman 7 Famicom, which is basically an 8-bit version of Mega Man 7.
Mega Man 7, which was actually done pretty well. It was a perfect port to do to the balance. Everything was really, really good.
Yep.
So I actually played through on that one, and I believe that at some point they said they were going to work on an 8 and a version of Mega Man 8 as well.
Oh, cool.
So, which leads into, of course, Mega Man 8. Now, it seems rather silly how the Nintendo had six Mega Man games, the Super Nintendo only had one, and then the PlayStation came across, and the PlayStation only had one.
And I never actually played it anyway.
Well, the good thing with Mega Man 8, it introduced some nice little anime-style cutscenes sort of thing, and there actually was a story to it of basically a strange robot as crash-landed, and again, they used some sort of strange crystal bullshit, which Wily's apparently stolen. The whole gameplay feels slightly bit more different. It's got the same sort of style as what 7 did with purchasing of upgrades, and they also introduced the sort of sudden death stage where you're on a sort of skateboard flying along and you had to jump and slide at the right time. They just got frustrating, very, very, very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And you just end up wanting to tear somebody's eyeballs out after so many times you died. No matter how many times you try to learn how to do it, it's just like it makes you cry. It really, really does. But then also the robot masters have voices when they come into the room for the fights. And so they all kind of gained a bit of personality. Things like Grenade Man is kind of a right military nutcase.
I think Mega Man 8's voice acting is not as very good.
No, it wasn't, because they were basically taken from the Japanese one. And you hear things like Freeze Man. He's this great big robot. Well, he's like, I'll crush you. I'll make a popsicle out of you. And it sounds like that.
And also, Mega Man sounds like a woman. Sounds like a little girl.
Yeah, that is true. But it was the first Mega Man game to really allow a differentiation in the sizes. It was like Frost Man was massive. He was a big one. It's like things like Sword Man was very tall. So you really, really did see the difference. And you could also see the X style of boss mechanics in it as well. It's like when you fight like Search Man, he'll dive in bushes and then you have to use the flame sword weapon to burn the bush and get him out again. So and then you see him come flying out the bush all smoking.
Nice.
So it was good fun to play. It followed a nice side to Mega Man, in my own honest opinion. And it didn't try to push it into degrees of like, oh, we've got the PlayStation now, we have unlimited power. Yeah, let's not go silly, guys. Let's create something simple and it works. Mm. And it did.
It did.
Okay, so yeah, so Mega Man, if you can find the ROM ISO image about, because probably getting a hold of a PlayStation copy of the game would probably be quite hard now.
It's also on the Saturn as well, I believe.
It was on the Saturn, but I never saw the Saturn version. I would imagine the Saturn version is better. On that one. And also, what they didn't release in the UK, they actually released a game on the Intermittent, which actually used the PlayStation's graphics, mm-hmm. strange enough, on the Super Nintendo, which was the Mega Man and Bassam game.
Yeah, that was only released on the Super Nintendo, but it did mm-hmm. actually get a release over here on the Game Boy Advance.
Yep, and that wasn't until very many years later. Lucky enough, if you look online, mm. there's a bunch of people who actually worked on a English translation. You can actually get the IPS patch, put it on the Japanese version, and you can play the game in nice, shiny, shiny English. Then you've got the game in itself is probably one of the most difficult ones of them all, and had some of the most annoying robot masters and some of the most mind-blowing boss battles I've ever seen in a Mega Man game. The final encounter with... one of the main protagonists known as King is just like, wow, you look at this thing and it's like, holy hell, how am I supposed to beat that? It was just astounding, the amount of detail. And again, they mixed it up a little bit, they changed, and was also gave you the ability to play as Bass.
Yep, they did.
And Bass actually differed from Mega Man.
Yeah, because Bass had the rapid air gun.
Mm-hmm, but he couldn't fire through walls. No. That was the... and he was also able to double jump as well, but couldn't slide.
No.
So of course you had two.
He had treble, don't worry.
he had treble. And again, like as Rockman was able to summon Rush, I call him Rockman. As Mega Man was able to summon Rush, Bass was able to summon treble, and they both had different abilities as well because of obviously of Bass's double jump. He was able to do like power him up into a wing sort of form.
Yep.
And hop on his back and basically give him superpowers. And it also had the nice little bonus side to it where you had to collect the data discs, didn't you? As a kind of a treasure hunt game.
Mm.
As some were in plain sight, some you had to get rushed to find and dig. So you really had to search the levels to find these things. But they never really gave very much in the way of clues, did they?
No, they
didn't. Yeah. But then again, after that, unfortunately, the Blue Bomber vanished for a good sort of while. We're going to go on to these games because, hell, I know we can, because they look like the originals.
I know they're not recently modern day, but they do have a retro feel.
Well, give the truth, Archie, you can't even say that's a fair statement. They are old school Mega Man games.
Simple as that. Old school Mega Man games, simple as that, and that's where they went back to. I was quite surprised they actually went back there.
It was, but I think that's what gave it its charm. Mega Man 9 came out, and somebody, whoever, I think it was Intelli Creations were the people who were responsible for that one.
Mm.
They created it was a perfect homage to the games, but why in the blue hell did they have to make it so fucking difficult?
Yes, it was absolutely fucking hard.
Yeah, that is a case of
only hard. Only far as I ever got was the second boss, the Wily Stage.
Yeah, that is hardcore Mega Man fans only. Yeah. Definitely on that one. I can only get to Wily's Fortress. I can't get no further. That's just how hard that game is.
And God for a save feature.
Yeah, that is thank God for that one. And you just sit, they replaced the password system for a save feature. I can understand for that one. It's a more modern, up to date one. But even to get to the point of that one, I'd say dump the save feature. Even if you just put it in there for a laugh, put the password feature in.
Yeah.
But Mega Man 9 continued the story onwards. I can't remember the storyline for 9, but I don't think it was all that much difference there. Mega Man 10 was then released shortly afterwards, which I think basically finished off the whole sort of process for Mega Man.
Well, this time they added in an easy feature in it, because I think a lot of people didn't like the hard difficulty of 9.
Yeah. So they made it a little bit easier for the pussies. People complaining.
I wasn't a pussy.
No, I knew it was hard, but yeah. I didn't bitch about it in the massive long run. I did say, wow, this is hard, but I didn't entirely complain about it. But 10 was nice, came with some nice little DLC features. But and it would imagine how I would see Mega Man now if it was made today. If we still had old school Nintendos.
Yeah.
And we were still playing on them. That is kind of how I would see Capcom stretching their development of Mega Man into this sort of quality. And could you imagine a modem in a Nintendo? Oh. amazing. That would just be amazing. Oh, yeah. They stuck a Nintendo in a toaster, and now they're going to stick a 50 meg broadband internet connection into it.
Oh, just, sweet.
Yeah, just so you can play 8-bit Mega Man. Fantastic. But like I say, that was the best side to all the Mega Man games. They were just fantastic series of games, in my own honest opinion. They also had some offshoots. The Game Boy had a series of games.
Yeah.
They had some individual bosses as well, with Enka, Punk, Ballard. They were, and then Mega Man 5 was totally unique because the bosses were named after planets.
Yeah, it was also the only Mega Man game that used the Super Game Boy feature.
Mm. So that was, well, Mega Man 5 Game Boy Edition, that's definitely well worth a fire in an emulator at any time. Yeah. Because it was, so the first four were basically just rough shots of the first set of Mega Man games, but Mega Man 5 Game Boy was definitely the standout one.
Oh yes.
But that's a good look over on all the Mega Man games came out. Let's look at the character development. They developed the characters very nicely over the years, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who's possibly one of your favorite characters out of all of them?
Obviously, Proto Man.
Even though he's not mentioned, he's the mysterious one in the shadows. Yeah.
That's what I like about him, because his mystique, he's in the shadows, he watches over, he's there, sometimes he comes in and helps. That's what I like about him.
He's just really good. Wily is just fantastic. He's the cliche villain, isn't he?
Yeah.
Without Wily, Mega Man wouldn't exist. Yeah. I think he actually put that forward in one of the endings. He basically turned around and said to Mega Man, "You're nothing without me." And I'm like thinking, it's like, can you see a little bit of Batman and Joker here? And then it was just so good, and the characters weren't annoying.
No,
they all fit together quite nicely. They didn't expand the universe into too much.
Any
character that was only there for one sort of purpose was only there for one sort of purpose. Otto was there as the shopkeeper and as the small comic relief. Roll was just there as the token sort of psychic,
and Eddie was there just to give you some health and energy capsules.
Yeah. They were just there to do what they were supposed to do, and you can't ask for much more than that. It was just really, really well done. The whole series on a whole, I think it's just great and deserves to be played again and again and again. And I could play them over and over again, and every time I finish one, I always feel satisfied.
Yeah, I do as well.
All in all, just looking at that continuity, the original Mega Man continuity, it's a fantastic set of games, and it really, really does go down a treat. So I really do advise anyone to really sit back, take a look at these games, and you won't be disappointed.
No, you won't.
Not at all. So first timers out there, get yourself a NES emulator and get 1-6 and play.
We command you.
The resistance demands of it. You must play these games. But of course, as Capcom decided, oh, we're going to flush Mega Man down the toilet.
Yes, they did.
The community wasn't going to let it lie.
No, the community came. The community came back in a massive wrath.
And there was one thing which I found, which, like I said, and you mentioned it earlier, and that was the Doom conversion, the Mega Man 8-bit deathmatch.
Yep.
Now, what was your opinion when we all sat down? Because it was me, you, and Blim. We were all sitting around playing that. What was your impressions of that mod?
It was just really well done. But the beginning, when you watch the beginning intro, it just felt like a Mega Man game.
Mm.
The beginning intro just felt like it.
The whole feel of it was just...
It was just a feeling I was playing a Mega Man game. Not a mod, a Mega Man game. Mega Man game.
Yeah, that as well. And it uses the Doom engine.
Yeah.
But there is just no part of Doom left in that.
No, there isn't. You can look everywhere as you want, but you can't find any Doom in there.
No, you will not find one shred, not one borrowed texture. Everything's been reworked. And you're running around these new battlegrounds, because it plays similar to Quake 3, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I didn't play Quake 3 as much.
But it plays similar to Quake 3 in sort of deathmatch-style situations. And you can choose your characters, and there's well over 50 different characters who you can have as your mascot. As who you want to be, and it's virtually all the robot masters, including Mega Man, Bass is in there as well, and they're all in their good old fashioned 8-bit renditions.
Yep, including Proto Man.
But you do look around the levels and you think, wow, so this is what it would look like, and you get the feel they've used the original music. I seriously don't know why Capcom hasn't sued their asses off over it.
I'm hoping they don't.
Well, they should have done, because the game officially finished on Project last year or something like that, so It's been out for a good while.
And maybe it just Cam doesn't really give a shit about Mega Man anymore.
Yeah, that does come back to what we're saying on that one, doesn't it? And of course, they're not making any money on it, so
it's a free anyway. But, so you can't really sue them if you're not making any money. You can't sue them.
Exactly. So it was just a fantastic mod. You get the feel that you're Mega Man fighting off against the Robot Masters, and you've got all the powers.
Yeah,
they've modified all the powers, so
you can also use Proman's powers as well, and also Bass's powers as well.
That's his powers as well, and then you've got all of them. They're laying on the floor like typical Doom style pickups. And then even when you've got their stages based off all the Robot Masters, and even when you look at things like, we was on Bubble Man stage, yeah, weren't we?
And we saw them spikes. We hit those spikes. Instant death
spikes, and just like in the game. And you could also jump higher as well,
yeah,
because you're on the underwater situation. And it's just so many things you look at, and you're like, wow, it's just great. It really, really is. You could call in the rush deck. You could fly him around like a hoverboard. Yep. It's just a fantastic, fantastic conversion. And I'll see if I can find the main site it's from, and I'll get a link under the information here so people can go find that and play that. Hell, I'm thinking of even running a few servers soon. So if anybody's interested in playing the Resistance at Mega Man on the 8-bit deathmatch, then let us know. And we'll set something up, and we'll go around kicking some ass.
Yep.
So let's move on to another little feature which we decided to do, and I think we're going to go for. Dun, 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 dun. I really should do something else for that.
Yeah, definitely.
The top 10 worst robot masters.
Yes, those
diddy little robot masters. We've chosen one in each game, so more of a list of the top 10. But as there's been 10 games, I think we can get away with that. So yeah, we've come with at least one from each game who we've just think is just absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll start the countdown at Mega Man 1. So please, Will, who did we select for Mega Man 1 as being the biggest retard in that game?
Guts, man.
Guts, man. And why do you think he deserves that accolade?
Because he just doesn't really do anything. He just jumps around, freezes you, and throws rocks at you like a cheap way.
It does. It just blows. You like sit there, you think he bombs the floor, you think it's like, man, you need to lose some weight.
Yeah.
His design's uninspirational. Yeah. Well, mind you, I think most of the ones on the first ones were.
But if anyone who's seen Mega Man dies at the end, you'd probably be wired with maybe to a drunken arsehole.
Oh, I could just imagine that. Yeah, I can imagine Gutsman. Nobody respects me.
No one does.
But Gutsman got the slight revival in Mega Man 7, didn't he? When Wily basically gave him an upgrade.
Yeah.
But even then, he was still a retard.
Yep.
So Gutsman, you are the most useless robot master in Mega Man 1. Moving on to Mega Man 2, and we opted for Woodman.
Yay.
How could you be scared of a man who sits there with leaves running around him?
And made of wood.
And when he fires it, he drops leaves from a tree. It just doesn't sound intimidating,
no.
Does it?
No, it doesn't.
You just want to sit and say, oh, look at this. Look what I got. This is Metal Man Blades. This is metal saws. This is the equivalent of a chainsaw.
Yeah.
You can imagine seeing Woodman running down the road going, ah!
Yeah. Seeing this wooden boar running past.
Yeah. And Mega Man running after and saying, come here. And then that immortal screech of the wood blade weapon, the metal blade weapon going off.
Yeah. It probably makes Morgan Jin get a face pan when he sees Woodman.
Oh, yeah, definitely on that one. And so in Mega Man 2, Woodman, congratulations, you are useless. Now moving into Mega Man 3, and yeah, we've already mentioned this guy too many times.
Yeah, Top Man. Most useless, pathetic robot master ever. He's just so...
Yeah, that's all we can say.
That's all we can bloody say, and his powers are just useless. He just makes you spin.
Mm.
How useful is that? Only gets one robot master, and that's about it.
Yeah, but apparently it's very useful against Wily in his final form. Yeah, if you could get anywhere close enough to him to use it.
Yeah. Because when you get hit, you can't use it.
Yeah, and even then there comes a point if you hit him with it, you may take one part of his energy off, but it may completely drain out his weapon, leaving you in the crap. So, so the Resistance is giving Top Man the middle finger salute.
Yep.
And so, of course, then Mega Man 4 come across, and we opted for the rather useless and slimy Toad Man.
Yep, pretty useless.
How can you take any boss seriously that jumps in front of you and starts shaking his stomach?
Not really seriously.
You can't. And all you do is you just charge up the Mega Buster, and as he's about to start it, you blast him and he starts jumping over your head, and you, while he's jumping over, you charge it up again, hits him again, and he just keeps jumping over your head.
And just rings rear down, that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, that's about it. And even then you'll probably sit there going, oh, you're pathetic.
It must have been a belly dancer before he became a Robot Master.
Must have been. There must have had the essence of something in there.
Yeah.
Right, so, Toad Man, you're a useless fuck. So we put that in very bluntly for that one.
Yep.
Moving on to who got the award for Mega Man 5, Will?
Gravity Man.
Right. You're stuck in a room where you basically got a guy that basically just keeps going up and down, up and down.
But if you had the Star Crusher, you'd probably get rid of him in no time.
Yeah, it was monotonous, wasn't it, mate? And it was just boring. He just fires like one single pellet at you for ammunition wise, and you're like, he doesn't even attempt to try and crash into you, does he? It would be good if somehow he actually went diagonally or something like that. Hmm. But he's just so predictable. Somebody get poor Gravity Man and nail him to the floor. That's what he deserves.
There'll be some fanboy out there who really loves Gravity Man.
Oh, of course there will be. We will hunt you down and kill you. Yeah. Right, so Mega Man 6. Who got the shining, outstanding, useless achievement award for Mega Man 6?
Nightman.
Yeah, one of the ones that was created by the Americans.
Yeah.
And his attack consists of a spiked mace ball that shoots out, stops... It shoots back.
Yep.
You're just asking for him to jump on your head, aren't you? Yeah. You're like, give me something. I just want something. And what makes it worse, the weapon you get off him is exactly the same as what he uses. Every other weapon somehow gets modified, so it's like slightly better for you. But what do you get on that? No, nice. You get exactly the same thing.
The same bloody thing.
So Nightman... best attacked with a can opener, that's what I reckon.
Can opener, man.
Okay, so they're rolling along, of course, then as we enter the 16-bit, it doesn't explain for anything being for 16-bit as shit. Springman for Mega Man 7.
Springman, who made that up? They must have looked at a spring and trying to get something out of a spring or something. They must have stared at a spring all day just to actually get something out of it.
Yeah, they just sat there and just looked, so you're just like thinking, it's like, oh, God. And the thing is, he's no better than Toad Man, is he? He jumps up, spins his fist around, stretches out, comes down, as soon as he hits floor, you slash him, and he goes back up in the air, spins the fist, slide underneath him, slash him. And you're just sitting there going, like, you are hopeless. you make all the others look, oh, no. He's just hopeless. And the Mega Man 8 award for uselessness goes to...
Clowman.
Clowman. Now, you've never actually played that one, so...
I know who he is.
Exactly. All you need is the tornado wave, and as he's spinning around the circle, you just drop it underneath him, just throw him up in the air, and he hits the floor, and then you just pelt him with the Mega Buster.
Mm.
And he's tied up, he can't do nothing, he's totally defenseless. And what makes it even better with the PlayStation version, you actually had both the additional weapon and the Mega Buster, you could actually fire both of them, you didn't actually need to swap weapons.
Oh.
On that one, so you needed to change your secondary weapon, but you could still fire the Mega Buster and fire out the secondary weapon at the same time. Oh, it's just bizarre. And now he's just a useless and very easy to beat one once you've got rid of Tengu Man, and not really a problem. Now rolling on to Mega Man 9, the one aptly called Plug Man.
Why would you still make a Plug Man? He must have stayed at a plug a really long time to get that up.
They must be sitting in the offices going,
look, a plug, we'll just call him Plug Man. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, Mega Man 9 was actually done by the American staff, if I remember rightly. So you know what, they must be in the office, the cleaner must have come in, and they watched a plug in the Hoover or something like that.
Oh,
let's call him
Plug Man. There we go. Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Hold on, people, let's register the unoriginality scout. Oh dear, that's dropped off the bottom. And then finally, we go to Mega Man 10. And this was a close call between Strike Man, but he didn't get the award. Mm-hmm. And then we acted for Sheep Man.
Yes, the former sheep herder. Suddenly decided, well, I've had enough herding sheep, I'm going to kill some people.
Yeah. And and when you look at it as well, you like thinking it's he's fed up with his job as a sheep herder. A sheep dog herd sheep.
Not a flipping sheep.
Not a sheep. If you was a sheep sitting there, if you saw the dog come, you're like, ah, and you're running away. You sit there, you look at sheep man sitting there going, and you'll be like, ha, 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 you're like me, I'm not moving. I think it comes to the point where his weapon, you get something called Thunderwall, isn't it? Yeah. He probably just sits there, puts the wall above, and just electrocutes them.
Mm.
I just get an envisionment of a doner kebab sales going right up. Can't you?
Yeah.
So there you go, people. There's our 10 worst Robot Masters. One for each game, because let's just face it, they're shit. To put it bluntly. Right. Moving along, let's Malk answer these last time. Let's hit the Q&A and we'll let you answer the questions that are in there, mate.
Okay.
Right. You've not checked the forum for what questions are in there, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okie dokie. Are you ready,
yep,
Will?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. Are there any games that you didn't buy when they were originally released that you have emulated and you realise how much you love them and now you wish you actually had them on the original console?
Possibly the Neo Geo, really, because I wish I owned like Metal Slug. But getting hold of a Neo Geo is bloody expensive.
And I was looking on eBay yesterday, and somebody actually had a brand new unboxed one there. It'd never been unwrapped, nothing. He was selling it for £4,500.
Fuck right off.
Yeah.
Because I like the Neo Geo, but the Neo Geo was too expensive to buy, in my opinion.
It was, because you were essentially buying an arcade machine.
Yeah.
That's what you were essentially buying.
Yeah.
And you said exactly the same thing me and Malk did.
Yeah, because come Neo Geo. Come on, who would love to own a Neo Geo? Seriously, it's much the best thing you could ever own.
Exactly. Who wants the CD version? Yeah, fierce.
Yeah.
Do you like long access load times? No, then do not buy this product. No. That's the best way. That's the best way. Right, Daydream passed one around as well. Just wondering if you or anyone you know has gaming tattoos. If so, what are they? And if would you want to get one? If so, which one would you want it?
I don't know anybody who has a gaming tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably would get a tattoo, but I won't get a gaming one. You know what I would get?
What's that? If it could be a gaming one.
I would probably get if I would get a gaming tattoo, I would probably get like the Nintendo 64 logo.
Sounds cool. So because that could be just passed as anything. You probably get somebody saying, well, what's that? Oh, it's just a logo I liked. So saying, or I could imagine a better one. I could get US gold tattooed around my butthole.
Speaking about US gold games, I was watching one of Screw Attack's those live screens. They were doing Terrible Thursday, and one of them they actually played one US gold game.
which one was it?
Summer Olympics 1994.
Now the thing is, US gold's Olympic games weren't all that bad. That's probably about the only thing they actually did get right.
Oh really?
Yeah, I actually played a few of them. Yeah, they kind of got those right. Just about everything else they got wrong. That one. So, yeah, it's still good. But, yeah, if I wanted a proper tattoo, I'm not too sure of myself, because I couldn't think of anything last time I mentioned it, but I can't think of anybody who I'd want to have anything. Oh, it would be an awesome character to have tattooed on that. Chikan. That one, the one with the front cover on that I think that'd be awesome if you had that tattooed on your back. You look like a right mental case. You'd look like a mental case, and the ladies would love you. or at least that's the theory. Okay, dokie then. But shall we wrap the old show up?
Yep, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Right, first things of all, iTunes review. We've got four now, mate.
Yay!
So we're going up in the world. Our last one comes from Big Fiery Dragon, which I believe is Potty Boy.
Oh, is
it? Yeah, I believe it's him. If he could confirm that for us, please do. Love your classic retro games, movies, and TV shows. Then the Retro Resistance podcast is just a ticket, full of nostalgia and greatness. Of course, we're great. We know it.
Yeah, we know. We're great. We're better than great.
Yeah, we're just fucking awesome.
Yes,
that's just about it.
All three of us can walk into a bar. And the bar will explode because we could not contain our awesomeness in that bar.
Exactly, that's the best way to do it. Do you know if you're going to be able to get to play this year yet, then, mate?
I'm still iffy. I'm still 50-50. Well, iffy.
Let me know. Oh, that's what I forgot to order this month. Yee! Onto the net! Oh, golly, Andy's now going to kick my ass. Seriously. Right, and we've had a few comments from YouTube on our latest video as well. Do you want to read those out for us?
This one is from Funky Spectrum, and he says, "Hello there, great channel. I started my own Spectrum reviews. Come over and have a look at them. We're running on a blackjack competition right now. If you would be great, it would be great if you would enter. I might do as well, actually."
Yeah, it's true. Apparently, I received a private mail the other day. You caught someone cheating. Okay, who else has left us a nice comment on there?
Just one who says, like the podcast from Moobit.
The Moobit. Thank you, Moobit. We know who you are.
And also Sam, from Sagan Nepalotan, is he called?
Neophyte.
Says, great podcast. Keep it up, guys.
Yeah, I believe he was the guy that left us a message and said that the podcast was stopping him becoming a fat bastard, so...
losing tip from the Retro Resistance or list off podcasts and you
listen
to
our podcast. so not only is our podcast awesome, it's also it's also part of a great calorie controlled diet.
Yes.
Oh, can you imagine going to the doctors, what can you recommend for my weight problems? I recommend the Retro Resistance podcast. Somebody is about to lose their job in the health profession over that one.
Yep.
Right, so wrapping up, one big thanks to again the people upstairs in the Retro Asylum, Andy, Glenn and Swaney.
Yep.
Would you come and lock the door one day and let us out? We kind of need to go out shopping.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, the supplies are running low and Will's out of lemons.
Yes, I need more my combustible lemons.
So anyone you want to say thank you to?
Everyone in the Retro Asylum and Malcolm Pottyboy as well, because
yeah,
Blim,
because Blim enjoys many hours of enjoyment with us.
Yeah, he does.
All good for dear Blimsy. We should be having Potty Boy on the podcast soon. He's wants to come along and tag along with us.
Cool.
So hopefully we'll get to him to talk about his love of the Amiga. Mm. Is it love, obsession? I'm not sure. We'll ask Potty on ourselves. Right. Big thanks to the YouTube community as they also listening to us on there. You can also get subscribe to us through iTunes. If you like our show, please drop us a review. All would be appreciative. If you're not on iTunes, then you can get hold of us on Podomatic. There will be links down below, so you get your podcast on the go, so you can upload it to your favourite MP3 player or iPod. Oh yeah, or your Android tablet. However, which way you choose to do it. Anyway, big thank you. Other people to list out for. Definitely for the Gamer Dads, of which Dear Moobit is part of. Great modern day podcast with the Dadcast and the Retrocast for all your old school needs. Moobit is run basically on both of those, so if you want to catch him on there. Arcade and Retro, have you listened to a few of their reviews yet, mate?
Or their podcast? No, not yet.
Oh, definitely recommend listening to a few of theirs, mate.
What are they called again?
Arcade and Retro. They're on the site anyway. But some very factual podcasts. They bring a lot of good information. So if you like your facts and your figures, and if you like your raw information, they're a very good podcast to listen to. The Odd Pod, help that guy out there. He's a great little guy. He's doing his best. He's produced amazing little cast so far. So if we can help this guy out, let's make him a big time goer. There was another guy who I saw, which they actually subscribed to our channel on Podomatic. Will,
all right.
These are an American band called On the Rocks.
Ah.
They basically do a bit of modern day gaming look on there, and they also do it while drinking heavily.
Ah.
And if you actually go to their page On the Rocks on the Podomatic podcast list, they actually have a list of the cocktails they're drinking as well. You could, if you've got the ingredients, you can actually sit there and enjoy a good cocktail while listening to their podcast. They're a good bunch. They're not full of themselves. They sit back, they lay back, they like talking about what they like to do, and I'd say give the guys a listen to. If you're on Podomatic, give them a subscription, drop by, try to think if there's anyone else who we missed.
No, not coming anything.
Nope. So okay, people, so please keep tuned in. We've got more goodness to come. Hopefully we'll be back in a fortnight. If all things go well, we'll be having our three-way wrestling podcast.
Yay.
Let's get ready to rumble. So that will be me, Malcolm, and Will.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get some spare time, Will and Malcolm are going to be bringing you a special Metal Gear podcast as well.
Yeah, we are.
Yep. So you want to hear Malcolm will rattle and talk about the glory and greatness of his Metal Gear, and then keep staying tuned to the channel. Okay then. Right. So that's all for this fortnight. Big thank you from me.
And a big thank you from me as well.
Okay, and we'll see you all soon, people. Goodbye.
Bye.